is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Smart Talk all day. Good morning, good morning. It is Tuesday, the 16th of January, 2024, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. It is a World News Tuesday with Mr. Mark Palmer. Mr. Newry is joining me in studio. I have lots to talk about this morning. Me and Mr. Palmer, we're going to have a little global tension right now, because as I am very excited to talk about these sort of world news stories that we have lined up for today, there's also some local news that I just want to touch on quickly. And then it's Tuesday, which means it's trivia day. I see I have a call on the line. I take that call quickly. Good morning, caller. I don't know why you call, caller. What happened? Anyway, today is trivia day. Let's get the show started. The Sand Dollar merchant list is growing. If you're looking for more places to spend the digital Bahamian dollar, visit sanddollar.bs/merchant list to view a list of verified merchants in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and the Family Islands. If you're a business owner and you'd like to join the Sand Dollar merchant list, contact 302-9880 or SDAU at centralbankbahamas.com. That's SDAU at centralbankbahamas.com. Here we go. We're giving away sand dollars again. In fact, right now, every week, six listeners can win 30 digital Bahamian dollars if they get the correct answer and have a digital wallet. When you call in, give the producer your name and cell number and wallet provider. Very important. Include wallet provider and custom name in all text. You need that information for your answer to be valid. Download a digital wallet right now, because every Tuesday and Thursday you can be a winner. Here we go. First question of the day. I'll throw out the numbers first. 3236232, 3254316, 3254259, 242-300-5720 for our Family Island residents. It is toll free. And our text line, powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. First trivia question of the day. What U.S. federal holiday is observed on the third Monday of January each year? What U.S. federal holiday is observed on the third Monday of January each year? I'll give you a little clue. Yesterday was the third Monday in January. Yesterday was the third Monday in January. Numbers to call. 3236232, 3254316, 3254259, 242-300-5720. Producer, let's go to the phone line. They're coming right now. Good morning, caller. You calling to answer the trivia?
Good morning, Erin.
Good morning. How you do? Turn down your radio.
One moment. Okay, I think I have the answer.
I'm ready.
It's Martin Luther King. Is it Martin Luther King's Day?
Yes, Martin Luther King's Day.
Yes.
The federal holiday observed on the third Monday of January is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Thank you very much. You pause and give the producer your name and number. I've got a number of text answers. I will get back to the texters and all the winners at the end of the day. And remember, texters, I have a chronological record of when each text came in. Thank you very much, producer. You want to take her info for me, please?
Yay!
You could connect me to the next caller. Good morning, caller. I have an answer for the trivia, though. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. I was calling to say it was Martin Luther King Jr.
We giving her that.
Okay, then, no problem.
But stay tuned, because you on the right track. You obviously could be a winner because you know about what I'm talking about. So hang up and maybe call right back when I throw out the next question right now.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. All right, be ready for the second question. What is Martin Luther King Jr.'s birth date? What is Martin Luther King Jr.'s birth date? What is MLK Jr.'s birth date? That's the next question. Numbers to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, toll free for Family Island residents. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
I'm smiling. As you talk about trivias and Martin Luther King, what is Martin Luther King's real name? That's a good question.
I know the answer to that. I don't have a... We may have to throw that out as the next question. Okay, so I can put that on the list as the next question. What is MLK Jr.'s birth date? Or you could answer, what is his birth name? What is MLK Jr.'s birth name? Okay, I've got an answer by text for what is Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So how are you?
I'm great.
Good, good. You ready?
His birthday is the 15th of January, 1929.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. We've got a winner. Texas, I saw the first texter to come in with the correct answer as well. I'm glad so many people. Now, hold the line, caller. I need you to give your information to the producer, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. He's going to transfer you over. Let's take that next call. Good morning, caller. I have an answer for MLK Jr.'s birth date. Do you know what his birth name is?
No, I don't remember his birth name, but I know his birthday was yesterday, the 15th.
Yes, but I already have an answer for that.
I didn't get his birth name. Yeah.
I got you. But call back in, because that's the next question on deck.
Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you. Again, we're playing the Sand Dollar on the Clock Trivia Giveaway. Each winner wins 30 digital Bahamian dollars that I will send to their digital wallet. The third question on the bench is... What is MLK Jr.'s birth name? We know him as Martin Luther King Jr., but what is his birth name? No, Texter. We know him as Martin Luther King, as Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin isn't his birth name. What is his birth name?
He and his daddy changed their names.
Both of them changed their name.
Yes.
That's something I like
yes.
that. I was wondering
That's how
if they just
junior.
Kept the junior,
That's
right?
How you get junior.
But both of them
changed their, name.
Their names. All right. I got a winner via text. I've got a winner via text. I'm going to throw that and give that answer. It is Michael King. It is Michael King. All right.
Yeah.
One last question to the people on the phone line. We already have an answer to the question, what was his birth name? He was born Michael Luther King, and Mr. Newry pointed out that both he and his father changed their first names from Michael to Martin. All right. That's
and,
us
and
for today.
And that was in honor of the Protestant Reformation. Did you know? Because a lot of people confuse, you know, Martin Luther King with Martin Luther, the Protestant
right.
reformer. So
now,
that was the reason, right?
It was strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Because he was a reformer too. So,
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Wow. All right. We've got all of our trivia winners for the day by phone and by text. I will be contacting and transferring prizes to winners before the end of day. Good morning, Bahamas, and thank you for playing our trivia today. Mr. Palmer, quick story.
Yes.
in today's Tribune, I'm not sure if I saw it in The Guardian yet, it's a quick story. A small boy bitten by a shark yesterday and taken to hospital.
Wow.
The first story I saw was actually, I don't know who came out first, but the first story I saw, this story traveled far quickly. It was in the Loop News Caribbean, I guess unit or branch, online branch. The Royal Bahamas Police Force says a male child was reportedly bitten by a shark. A short statement issued by the police after 4 p.m. said the child was en route to hospital. So that's what I found yesterday. In today's paper, we have more details. A 10-year-old boy from Maryland, United States, was reportedly bitten by a shark shortly before 4 p.m. yesterday. Authorities said the boy was bitten on his right leg by a shark while participating in an expedition in a shark tank at a local resort on Paradise Island. He was transported to the hospital for medical attention and is currently in stable condition. Investigations are ongoing. The incident had been reported earlier in the day, but police had been uncertain of the location.
Context is everything, right? Because my first thing that I assumed was that this is like our second attack, right, in a short period of time. But I'm glad to hear it was in a shark tank.
Right. And here's the next thing.
Glad to hear it,
right.
But, you know.
One of the stories I heard said, boy bitten by shark off the coast, right, of an island in the Bahamas. And I thought, okay, wow, another one. But this one was a part of a marine life experience at a resort, right?
Yeah. These things can go wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you're required to sign waivers. These are adventure activities, right?
I mean, you know, the amazing thing that, you know, Stuart Cove's been doing that, diving or feeding the sharks. They've been doing that for how many years? Maybe 20 years, 30 years? But you never really hear. I think they're very well-run organization. Have you ever heard of one of their people ever getting bit? It's kind of very rare, isn't it?
Yeah, extremely rare. It just led me, just for a moment, there is this phenomenon that's being talked about in the Southeast U.S., in particular. Now, we've all seen promos for this movie called Cocaine Bear, where a load of drugs drops in the middle of a forest, a bear eats it, and then goes berserk. Well, stories are coming out of Florida of concerns that marine life is consuming various types of narcotics that they find in the ocean, whether those narcotics have been pumped into the ocean through the sewer system where people put their unused pills down the drain, or sharks consuming bales of cocaine and narcotics being dumped in the water for whatever reason. I don't know how they get in the water. The sharks don't know how they get in the water. But it is reported that sharks are now potentially, we're seeing extreme behavior patterns or shifts because of this introduction of narcotics into their food system.
Wow. That's something, eh?
My thing is this. If we are, we're the largest marine nursery in the region, third largest in the hemisphere, I think, still. Have we considered the need for intensive shark and marine life behavioral studies, given the interaction between tourists and marine life as a part of the tourism product? Is it time now that we call on our tourism partners, like our mega resort hotels, to establish a fund to support entirely marine research, and in particular, marine life behavioral shifts? We can't get rid of the sharks. We need them as a part of our ecosystem to survive. They are important to human life. But perhaps it's time we start engaging in regular, frequent, consistent behavioral study program. Because two things, sharks ain't going nowhere, and it appears the drug running isn't going anywhere, and there may always be these things in the water. So what
maybe,
are we
maybe
to do?
Maybe they know where the refills are.
Perhaps they do. They know where to re-up. And that's not, I mean, tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
But this is serious talk. Sharks have learned to follow boats.
It's like you say, there's a you don't know if it's actually the case, but it's probable, right?
Yeah.
It is probable.
It's extremely probable.
So it should be something that should be investigated.
Right.
Because if there is a lead, if it does change behavior.
Yeah. We haven't even put on the table, are any local experts conducting studies on the impact of waste from Fukushima, having been leaked initially and now being dumped into oceans, if that has had any impact on fish, marine nurseries, production, quality of our food supply in this region yet?
It has to have degraded it somewhat. Yeah, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to think that that hasn't had an effect, right?
Yeah, that's to have an effect. Sorry, I got a little distracted. To my texters, I got to go through the list in a moment.
See who won.
Right, just the chronological order. But rest assured, there's a timestamp for texts, which is why I love it. It's a definite timestamp. So that was the story I wanted to touch on today. Right? Like I say, I actually feel a bit better that it happened in an enclosed space, which means that we can be in control of that space and we could determine what dynamics need to change to keep guests safe, and we could do that. When it happens in the wild, there's so little that you can control.
But I think, you can control your behavior in these situations, right? I mean, you don't take excessive risk. You don't go out if you're bleeding or if a woman's menstruating.
Right.
You know, there's simple things that you can do. You don't go swimming out to some god island, 3 miles away on your own.
Yeah.
Cut yourself with some coral. How are you going to get back? So I think, our beaches are pretty well chained off. I mean, a lot of them are,
Guests are pretty much protected.
And that's why we're not seeing a lot of it. But you do hear of it, certainly with the illegal immigration, when those boats go down, you've heard stories about it happening.
Shark feedings, tragic, horrendous, but this is what sharks do.
Yeah.
And we can't get mad.
Well, I remember when I was diving, I remember somebody was telling me, when you spot a shark, which I did many times when I was diving, he said, just be assured they have spotted you first.
Absolutely.
They're following you, right?
Yeah. Let's make a transition, guys. I got a text here. Aaron, question. Why aren't the lanes in the roundabouts painted? I see so many close calls and people do not know when they are drifting into another person's lane. Ridiculous. Just a very quick transition. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at today's paper and I see United in Prayer and Guardian. Prayers for peace amid crime wave. I just want to say this. If I were the commissioner of police, first of all...
I think I know what you're going to say.
You think you know my mind. Let me rephrase it then. When I see the images from last night's prayer rally, I'm glad to see Bahamians coming together, finding support in each other's presence and fellowship, right? It, in and of itself, is a powerful moment that people can come together, lean on each other, pour out energy for others to grasp onto. It is a beautiful moment. We cannot say united in prayer, though, because we did not make the effort to ensure that all faith communities in the country could participate. See, under that headline in the Tribune, it says, but Christian leaders divided on death penalty. You worried about that? Religious leaders are divided about what peace means in this country. You cannot call it a national day of prayer if you do not include the other faiths represented in this country. It is offensive that you would line up every dignitary in the country. It is offensive that you would have the judiciary there, because the judiciary is supposed to stand alone. They're supposed to stand separate from all of this. They are not supposed to be influenced by religion. They're not supposed to let anything, any of their personal choices, beliefs, faiths be known to the public.
So who wasn't invited?
Well, other religious faith groups weren't invited. And even, I imagine, if it were me, I would just come. If it were me, I would gather my followers and I would say, we are going to join in this national event. I wouldn't ask to be accommodated. I would present myself and show the country that we too are a part of the Bahamas, and we too come to stand with you in prayer and in faith to support each other. But it is an insult. It is offensive that you would sit here and attempt to construct a national moment and refuse to acknowledge all of the elements in this country that make up the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. On to my next note. It is offensive to me that we would sit and stand and say that we are united in prayer against or for prayers for peace amid the crime wave. Did we pray for the people whose homes were knocked down in the demolition, whether it be illegal demolition or not? Mm-hmm. Did we pray for them? Did we pray for peace in the hearts of those that don't agree with us and believe everything that we believe? So I take this to another point. We can transition very quickly. I'm still concerned about the Prime Minister's statements in his address on crime. In today's Guardian, we have a headline, Pintard raises alarm over Davis's intrusive policing program. Pintard yesterday raised concern about Prime Minister Davis's promise of more intrusive policing to combat violent crime. See, my response is this. As an advocate, as a member of a minority community, before you could claim asylum in another country, you have to show that you have attempted to use every mechanism available to you in your home country, and that has failed, and then we will consider your asylum claim. I say to my government, before you consider breaching the Constitution that you have sworn to uphold, perhaps you should attempt to employ all of the regular measures available to you to enforce crime strategies.
Are you talking about death penalty?
Oh, I'm not even. Yeah. I haven't even gone as far as the death penalty.
But that's unconstitutional, according to the Privy Council ruling, right?
No.
Wasn't it 2006? They ruled it unconstitutional.
What the Privy Council ruled was that you have to create a category, a hierarchy of heinousness, right, to indicate what the worst of the worst is, and then you apply the death penalty to those cases. I want to say this. Quickly, let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Good day. This is Stark, and always along with you and your guests, Aaron.
Morning, Bremen. How you do?
Good morning, thank God. We need justice, law in the Bahamas here.
Yes, sir.
What I want to speak on, right? Now...
Bremen, are you speaking on what I'm speaking on? Because that's what we're speaking on right now.
It's a part of it.
Quickly.
Okay. Rawson Square, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where those bleachers are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Opposite the House of Assembly, where the cabinet was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just west of where the cabinet was.
Mm-hmm.
So they have seating there for people to sit, right?
Yeah.
During Trumpanu, and it seems as if it's so the Prime Minister had a group out there on last night, right?
See, this is it. It wasn't the Prime Minister. It wasn't a national day of prayer. It wasn't a proclamation.
Yeah, but my point is, for years, they have a cesspit, a national cesspit, under those bleachers. And for years, round there, bees stink, okay? And I don't think... what I'm saying is, I don't think it's right for people to be congregating there, to be inhaling all of that filthiness. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, Bremen.
They either should move the cesspit or don't put any bleachers there for people to sit down on.
I got
That's
you,
not decent.
I got you. I understand.
Thank you.
We can bring that into our downtown development conversation, Bremen. So let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, Sparky. You got 30 seconds. Don't be mad at me, Bremen. Take 30 of your seconds.
No, that's Bremen's second. You have a good day, man.
Yeah.
You gone?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So I was very concerned, like Mr. Pintard, about the Prime Minister's statements on crime and potential crime strategies. I'm going to return to the point that I was making, that I would implore my government to try to employ the strategies that are available to them you know, perhaps you should try enforcing traffic controls. Why pass laws if you're not going to enforce them? But see, here's the point I want to make, Mr. Newry, Mr. Palmer. If I were the commissioner of police, the country would have been on lockdown a long time. For surely we have a major crisis of justice if the majority of Bahamians have decided that they don't care about the laws that govern the road. How many of you run stop signs and don't give two hoots? How many of you run stop signs right next to the hospital that you know you cannot afford treatment in? How many of you this morning right now have your phones in your hands while you're driving? See, as a citizen, I understand the need for law and order. My concern is, though, that our strategies will not work because they have not been properly formed, because we are not properly addressing the problem. And we like to jump quickly and say it's the young people, it's the young people. What you think? Where do you think the young people learn anything from and everything from? They learn it from people who are older than them. And when they're learning it from their peers, they're learning it from their peers because we, the older people, have left them in a deficit. We've left them in a vacuum. We've left them to teach themselves. The irony is, if I was the commissioner of the police, the place would have been locked down a long time. I got a quick text, and then we're going to go to a break producer, and then we're going to make another transition. So, Aaron, I remember you having an issue when the Christian Council descended on the gay forum held at UB. So how can you say that you wouldn't appear at the National Day, that you, I imagine you said you would appear at the National Day of Prayer uninvited? See, I want you to reread your text. How could I, a Bahamian, appear at a National Day of Prayer uninvited? Dexter, what I said was that if I were the leader of another faith group in this country, I would present myself as I had been called to. If you call it a National Day of Prayer, I'm a Bahamian and we will be there. I wouldn't beg you to accommodate me. I would accommodate myself. But I would do so respectfully, and that is the difference between me and what the Christian, let me say this, what the representatives of the Christian Council did that evening at UB. Texter, you don't want to talk about it because I don't want to talk about it because I don't make a point of embarrassing grown people on the radio. But if you want to go down that road, invite Mr. Fernanda and invite Mr. Moxie to call me and let's arrange a show so we could talk about what they did at UB. Producer, let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, the Pope says, does anybody care about what the Pope says?
He's the Pope.
I mean, he is the Pope. Pope Francis calls for a universal ban on surrogacy. He says it exploits mother and child. In this next section, I want to talk a bit about technology and the issues that we as Bahamians are forced to confront as we adopt more and more new technology. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We're going to a break, so please stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. Dazzy here. Listen, after 50 years of independence, to be a Bahamian in today's world also carries with it the responsibility of global citizenship. Tune in and sit with me. We'll discuss international news, finance, economics, pop culture, and trends that affect us as Bahamians not only locally, but also our contributions and opportunities beyond the rock. Beyond the Rock with your host, Dazzy, begins January 16th, 6:30 to 7:30, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Are you ready to catapult your business into the spotlight? Introducing Guardian Business Boots.
Ignite your success, and it's absolutely free to join.
Did you say free?
Yes. Free Guardian Business Boost is not just a program. It's your ticket to unprecedented visibility and growth. The Guardian Media Group is committed to helping the Bahamas prosper by creating new opportunities for small businesses who are the key drivers of that growth.
How does it work?
It works by first registering your business with the Guardian Business Boost at thenassauguardian.com. Then, each month, Guardian Media will pick and boost 5 businesses with 1 month of free ads across our multiple advertising platforms. The Nassau Guardian newspaper, website, Guardian Radio 96.9, Star 106 Hits, and all social media platforms. Catapult your business into the spotlight with Guardian Business Boost. Sign up for free today at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock. It is Tuesday, the 16th of January, and here we go. Thank you, gentlemen, for sitting with me through those little topics. Pope Francis calls for a universal ban on surrogacy. He says it exploits mother and child. The Pope said this in his annual speech listing threats to global peace and human dignity. He also cited Russia's war in Ukraine, the Israel-Hamas war, the issue of migration, climate crisis, and the immoral production of nuclear and conventional weapons. And so, I guess I want to talk about...
He's throwing a lot of stuff in one pile, isn't he?
He is, absolutely. Yeah. So the question of surrogacy, and I think we're going to get back to that on another day. I thought it was fascinating because... these are questions we now have to confront with access to new technology and advanced technology. Now, people can use IVF and various technical and medical processes to remove eggs from women's bodies, to combine them with sperm from a man's body. They can implant, they can grow embryos outside of the body. They can implant embryos into another person's body. And these are now things that we have to consider because in this modern age, we have Bahamians that are also in using these techniques to grow their families. And we have foreigners, tourists, right, who may have produced a child in this way. They may become citizens of this country at some point. There may arise legal issues that we... as a people, the government, all of the elements, have to engage and interrogate. There are lots of issues that arise. For the Pope, he says it's deplorable because it exploits the mother and child. And I think there are instances where...
that does happen.
In fact, to the point where some countries have allowed what we call surrogacy farms to be constructed and operated in their country, where foreigners come to produce babies.
I was just going to go to the other bit he was saying about the war in Gaza.
All right. So let's go to this caller and then we'll transition to that. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, how you do?
Hey, good morning to Mr. Mark Palmer.
Morning.
Yeah, I didn't hear the conversations that he initiated, but I'd just like to throw this in there and then finish listening to you guys, right? You've heard about the tetanus shot given to the adolescents in Kenya in the guise of tetanus vaccinations, but they were actually HCG, right? Human chorionic gonadotropin, which is a sterilizing, which is a hormone produced by the female body. So once it's present, you won't get pregnant. So it was a Catholic priest who uncovered it. I guess he did the lab work or whatever, but it's online for about five, six years now.
Yeah.
But the main thing I wanted to turn is, just comment on it. You notice that bioethics concerning all of these technological innovations, that most people really think they sound euphemistic and good, but they're really designed to drive humanity in the direction that the globalists want. And science, along with technology, is really all in itself, when you really look at it from the 1800s come up, it's designed to really inventory and control the Earth's resources and people. And this is simple. They are all about in books everywhere. So the question of bioethics, maybe we need to, I'm not hearing anything about it. Nobody, no political leader throughout the globe, and, you know, the Globetrotters, I don't know, maybe have silenced them, but nobody's talking about bioethics.
Yep.
The ethics side, mm-hmm. the moral side of science, when will it stop? When will the legislators keep up with this scientific BS? You heard about cryonics also, right, Aaron?
Yes.
All right, bless him.
Absolutely. In fact, let's take it out of the medical world. I have a question in terms, I put on the table, a country that cannot store and protect its own citizens' biometrics should not be allowed to collect its own citizens' mm-hmm. biometrics. And a country should not rely on another country or a company from another country or another jurisdiction to store said biometrics or to devise the software and or hardware to store and use said biometrics. There is a question of ethics in everything that we do, and there is a question of ethics at the cutting edge of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And as a sovereign nation, these are conversations that we have to take up as our own and not rely on the talking points or policies of foreign jurisdictions, because those foreign jurisdictions have to prioritize their own national security.
And their national interests.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A texter says, Ms. G, personally, I have no interest in what the Pope says. He need Jesus. The irony. Listen, I think of the Pope like I think of Mr. Rodney Munker. Many elements of our society. It's like a dark cloud of madness with a silver lining of brilliance. Yeah. We would be foolish to dismiss the silver lining of brilliance for the dark cloud of madness. Pull from it what is valuable, treat it respectfully, and then let it go. Let it go and flourish. Find the field that it will flourish mm-hmm. in. But let's not discount ideas because they may come from people who we find repugnant.
Right. Yeah. Remember, a broken clock can be is correct twice every day.
Yeah, without a doubt. Okay, so let's transition. Yes. The Pope also spoke to the Israel-Hamas war.
And I have to say, I had to turn the TV off 2 months ago because it was just so depressing. I'm sure you're probably the same, all that destruction that we saw. So I was very surprised to see South Africa take Israel to the International Court of Justice, which happens to be the highest court of the United Nations on the genocide treaty.
For our listening audience, I found this excellent article, a great read, and most people trust BBC. If the BBC is your source, here's a great story. What is South Africa's genocide case against Israel at the ICJ published on Friday, the 12th of January?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So so basically, it's the highest court. There's 15 mm-hmm. judges who come from around the world. I mean, they're all over the world. In fact, there's one from Jamaica, did you know? One of the judges is actually from Jamaica, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Genocide in international law is a very carefully framed term
mm-hmm.
and it has very precise legal connotations. So if you're going to bring a case against another country under mm-hmm. that genocide convention, you better get your facts right.
Yes.
And so I was interested to see, I listened to some of it on both sides, but then I listened to this interview with Professor Francis Boyle. Now, what was credible about him, he actually got the first case. He won the first case under the genocide convention between what's now known as Croatia and Yugoslavia, and he got an injunction against Yugoslavia. So I thought I'd listen to him because he obviously knows his thing or two, and he felt that South Africa made what he calls a watertight case.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what that actually means, but when you look at the genocide convention, you have to prove intent. It's not just, you cannot just say, you know, these people are being displaced, these things are being done. There has to be force that has to be demonstrated, plus an intent. And what they were able to show, understood, was that there was genocidal intent. And one of the clips they showed was of the Prime Minister Netanyahu talking mm-hmm. about the elimination of the seed of Amalek. Now, for our Christian, you know, Old Testament readers, you'll know the implication of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the extermination of that particular group,
according
to God's will.
Yeah.
Now, you can't, I mean, what I found amazing that a sitting prime minister would actually come out and say that. That's the most foolish thing. I know mm-hmm. they were very upset about what happened on October the 7th, but temperance, you know, and so they had a lot of evidence in the public domain which showed there was this intent. Now, the thing about this is it's going to take 4 weeks before they rule. Mm-hmm. If they do get a strike against Israel, they can then proceed with the full case. So this is like a preliminary hearing in about 8 months, but then it can take up to 5 years to get. So if you think Bahamian law moves slow.
Yeah, yeah.
That just for example, the Croatian genocide case was put in 1993, and finally the court hearing was, the judgment was in 2007. But it's more political, because if they do get it, which he seems to think they will, it will send a signal to Israel from the international community. They can then take it to the Security Council and other things. But so we'll see.
Absolutely.
But I thought plucky South Africa, and the reason I think they brought it was because of their history of apartheid.
Well, let me,
had they sat down and not done it, I would have been very disappointed in them.
Right. Let me read from the article. What is South Africa's genocide case against Israel at the ICJ from the British Broadcasting Corporation? Mm. Let's start here. What is genocide and what is the case against Israel? South Africa alleges Israel is committing genocide against the Palestinians in the wake of Hamas's 7th of October attack. Hundreds of Hamas gunmen crossed from the Gaza Strip into southern Israel, killing 1,300 people, mainly civilians, and taking about 240 hostages back to Gaza. Since Israel launched its military campaign against Hamas in response, more than 2,300 people, mainly women and children, have been killed in Gaza, according to the Hamas-run health ministry. And evidence submitted by South Africa claims acts of omissions by Israel are genocidal in character because they are intended to bring about the destruction of a substantial part of the Palestinian national, racial, and ethnical group. This refers both to what Israel is actively doing, such as carrying out airstrikes, and what it is allegedly failing to do, such as, according to South Africa, preventing harm to civilians. And the case highlights Israeli public rhetoric, including comments from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, as evidence of genocidal intent. Under international law, genocide is defined as committing one or more acts with the intention to destroy in whole or in part national, ethnic, racial, or religious a national, ethnic, or religious group. Those acts are killing or causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group, forcibly transferring children of the group to another group.
See, Israel's defense is that they were, you know, their military activity is directed primarily at destroying Hamas. What South Africa showed in their testimony that it wasn't, that was not really the case, but it was actually directed at the civilian population, as we've seen evidence in our eyes, with the view to driving them out of Gaza and letting them die from hunger and disease by not providing a humanitarian aid. Now, their defense was that Hamas has stolen the humanitarian aid and was using it for themselves. So, interesting case, you know. It's not very often that you hear these cases. And then going back to, you know, your next question is, you know, what does this judgment mean? Can you enforce it? You probably can. Because at this moment, you know, there is a case against Russia brought by Ukraine where they were, the judgment was for Russia to get out of Ukraine, but they haven't done it.
Yeah.
So how powerful
is the process?
Yeah.
Let's go to this caller quickly. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry, caller. My apologies. This also ties into the premise of the segment, which is that we now, as Bahamians, are forced to confront decision-making, policy-making in the face of new technology. See, we are karok and kabottle people. Mm-hmm. We just throw rock and bottle at you. We ain't got no armed weapon system. All I got is a straight mango-licking arm. And now we're living in a world where people say that they could target an individual from space and drop a bomb on them. Mm-hmm. And so now...
Or just drone. The drone. Right. How that has changed. Military warfare has changed with the use of drones.
Right. And so here we are now, as a part of an international community, let's go to that caller producer, required to vote on, to take part in these global discussions, to lend our voice, to lend our support to one side or another, whether that side is the side of truth, right, in no particular jurisdiction. Are we as citizens prepared to inform our government? Do we have sufficient information and knowledge about new technology to put forth a position to our government to represent in the wider global community? Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Producer, let's try it. I can't hear them in here. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Good. Hey, I want to ask you, guest, a question. Do you think the Israelis have a right to exist?
Mr. Palmer?
Well, of course they do. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, but a lot of people want to say from the river to the sea, and a lot of people say they stole the Palestinian land. I can say the same thing. America stole the Indians' land. The British stole the land from Australia. And then they want to make I understand. The people are frustrated. Innocent people get. But those terrorists, they build their infrastructure in civilian way, and they shoot a missile or the hotel or hospital at Israel. Israel, they know they're going to attack back. So those leaders, they put the civilians in jeopardy. You know what I'm saying? So you got to look at the leaders. Those leaders living in the Arab country, living luxury life. They don't care. They really don't care. But the foot soldiers, man. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about.
Entertain me for a second, caller. Entertain me for a second, just as we end the show. I want to draw on a perspective from my ancestors. See, I don't know if I was going to be able to make it in the time of my ancestors.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I could have made it down. I would have. Yeah, I understand.
Bougie. I may have just dropped and died and melted right there when I hear the whip crack. But here's what I'm saying from the perspective of my ancestors, right? If I were to begin to agitate on a plantation for freedom, knowing that I risk the lives of other innocent enslaved people, is it me, the enslaved person who's committing the atrocity because I throw a rock at the slave master and then the slave master decide to come out with a gun and shoot everybody? Am I the miscreant? Am I the terrorist? Or is it the person holding my... This is just a perspective from my ancestors.
But, when America was fighting for their freedom, right?
Mm-hmm.
The independence, the British called them terrorists, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But everybody gonna have their own opinion about slavery, the Holocaust, or this and that.
Mm-hmm.
The Palestinian people, I feel for them. Those innocent people getting killed,
yeah.
Especially the young babies. You see the images of the babies, man. But those, they need to get rid of those leaders, man. Those leaders don't care. They really don't care. They don't care about the people because they don't have to hide in bunkers. They eating steak and caviar and all this flying around and all over the world. And this and that. They really don't care about those people, man.
Thank you so much, Carly. And I think that's where all of us sit with our concern is focused on the innocent people, mm-hmm. in particular the innocent children whose lives are being lost for some other person's war. Mm-hmm. I have a rule.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Can I say hi to my cousin Diana at Royal Traffic Department?
Yes, you can.
Diana, hey, Kirk.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
How y'all doing, Diana, Kirk? They came to see me Saturday. We was watching the Dallas game, you know what I'm saying? But we get me upset, man,
Y'all feeling better now?
Man, oh yes, because look here, I live in the Tampa Bay area.
Yes, sir.
I'm so glad Tampa put a beat down on Philly. Hey, the football gods are smiling on me.
Yes, sir.
That's all I'm worried about.
Thank you so much for calling.
How about them Cowboys, though? How about them Cowboys?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and good morning, Craig and Diane at Road Traffic. My new cousins. Mr. Yeah. Palmer, thank you for joining me this morning. To all of the callers and texters, another tumultuous, heavy, complex conversation, mm-hmm. but we all got through it. And I'm glad that you called and you shared your opinion. Just because we don't agree don't mean you shouldn't call. Call. Let's not agree together. And to the texters, thank you. I'm going to contact my winners after the show. Thank you so much for tuning in to On the Clock. And stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next. And trust me, it's going to be another interesting show. Have a great day, Bahamas.